Hey, our Lord and Saviour, he don't make no rubbish. He makes awakening wonders, and it's awakening wonders that I'm addressing right now, whether you're watching us on Twitter, YouTube, or our ultimate home, the home of free speech, Rumble. Welcome to today's show. What a show we've got. We'll be talking to James O'Keefe in a minute about his BlackRock corruption expose. I think he was just on Crowder. We've wrangled him over from Crowder.
Well, yeah, I think he agreed to come on ours first.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
The very fact that we can share content, what an extraordinary world we're living in. The bidding war for JFK, not JFK, that's going to be expensive. RFK, who's funding that debate? RFK versus Hortez is skyrocketing. It's into the millions. And I can exclusively announce we are going to put £10 into that fund. £10. Let's get that debate happening.
That should do it.
Hotez debating RFK on vaccine efficacy. We are still on YouTube. Later on, we're going to be talking to Dr. Mark Hyman. He's going to help us to expose the medical industrial complex. You name it these days, they've got an industrial complex.
Certainly
there's the censorship industrial complex.
Yeah.
On tomorrow, I'm going to be talking to Schellenberger and Taibbi. Those couple of showboating charlatans. I'll be talking to them about censorship, and we'll be broadcasting that soon exclusively on Rumble. Our main story that we're focusing on, and that you're going to need to click Rumble in the link if you're watching us on YouTube to see us get deep with this particular subject, is the BlackRock revelatory video. Now, of course, James O'Keefe, he's famous for his performance in Oklahoma. He's famous for his expose of a former pharma worker, in particular a Pfizer worker's revelations around, you know, stuff that we can't talk about on YouTube. Well, he's gone and done it again. This time it's with BlackRock. Now, what we're interested in here is the fact that these kind of stories, in particular a story that appears to suggest that you can purchase political power through donations, bribery. You let me know in the comments and chat what word you think is appropriate. If you're watching us on Rumble, by the way, why don't you click the red button? Join us over on Locals right now. Join all these people. Yes, a lot of you are focusing on James O'Keefe's performance in Oklahoma. A lot of people really like that. It's pretty extraordinary. What we know about BlackRock is they're the third largest economic entity in the world. We bought you a fantastic story about how they've done a deal with Ukraine to rebuild Ukraine after the war, setting up corporate contracts, construction contracts. We know that BlackRock is an extraordinarily powerful entity. So these allegations that BlackRock engage in potentially bribery and bias, acquiring biases from, shall we say, participants in the political game is potentially groundbreaking. One of the things we wanted to point out, that the individual subject, the guy that's, you know, the recipient of the sting there, the person who's made these revelations, he's not really important. Do you agree with me? Because haven't you just always known that? Isn't it a little bit like the Epstein story, even though you're astonished to learn that all these powerful figures apparently have relationships with Epstein and been on his jets and have been on his list and have had all these chats and have accepted his money and have lobbied for him to, you know, donate to their campaign funds, including the woman that was criticizing dear Taibbi and Schellenberger. It's a confirmation of what we already suspect is true. Powerful economic entities bypass democratic process in order to pursue their agenda. Let me know if it's simply a confirmation of what you know to be true. Nevertheless, let's have a look. Me and Gareth Roy here, my on-screen assistant, will be breaking down this story and analyzing the true power of BlackRock and the veracity of these claims. Also, will you see this? Let me know in the chat if you think you're going to see this story on CNN. Let me know if you think you're going to see this story on MSNBC. Why don't they cover these stories? Do you think BlackRock might own some shares in Comcast, maybe? Do you think that's a possibility? Let's have a look at the video that's causing all these trending contretemps right now. Let's have a look.
All of these financial institutions, they buy politicians. You can take this big ton of money, and then you can start.
These whistleblowers are getting younger, aren't they? Look at that buddy boy Jack Texera, the Pentagon Papers lad. How old was he? 19?
Yeah.
20? Who's giving them these jobs and access to all of this stuff?
Well, I don't know. I've no idea. I mean, I don't know if you can call him a whistleblower. Maybe an inadvertent whistleblower.
Oh, he's not blowing a whistle.
He's definitely not.
It's like
that.
Someone who accidentally whistles when they talk.
Right.
He's about the age of Bad Graphics Jack.
Yeah, those people that when they talk go shh, Just happened.
You know what BlackRock...
They've got a gap in their teeth.
BlackRock, they're of course giving a lot of money to the politicians.
You're inadvertently blowing a whistle.
I didn't know you was filming that.
To buying people. I work for a company called BlackRock. Let me tell you, it's not there who's the president. It's who's controlling the wallet.
You can tell he's young because that's the sort of thing you say.
Hey, guess what, man? Thanksgiving is a celebration of stealing the country from the native people. Black Rock, they're the bad guys in all of
and
us.
And you know he's talking to a woman. The lady operating this sting is a woman, so he's blatantly trying to impress her with language like that.
Black Rock, I pull all the strings back there. I actually am establishing some deals right now with Zelensky. Oh, he's on the phone now. Oh no, I think there's a problem with the line. Oh no, that is him. Yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Should we have a look?
So it's the
and who's that?
The hedge funds, BlackRock, the banks. These guys run campaign financing. Yep, you can buy your candidates. Obviously, we have the system in place. First, there's the senators, and these guys are shit. You got 10 grand, you can buy a senator. I'll give you 500k.
He's a little braggart, isn't he? I don't want to focus on the lad because he's just some lad. He's just working in recruitment, isn't he? He's not actually the leader of BlackRock.
It's not Larry Fink.
It's not Larry Fink out there. Larry Fink would keep his mouth shut. I'd imagine he knows what he's doing, dear old Larry Fink. What happened, I suppose, and let me know in the comments in the chat. Join us on Rumble, press the red button. Is that BlackRock will deny the credibility of the story, say that they're not really associated with him. It'll become a tribalized debate and argument, and the mainstream media won't report on it. That's primarily what will happen. And those of us that have long suspected that politicians can be acquired through money will continue to believe that. And people that sort of just want things to basically stay the same won't bother to interrogate the subject. Together, BlackRock and Vanguard own 18% of Fox News. Perhaps that's why it's not getting covered. 16% of CBS, 13% of Comcast, which owns NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC. So the very fact that those three entities are owned by one conglomeration is interesting, isn't it? And the Sky Media Group, that's in our country. 12% of CNN, 12% of Disney. That's a considerable amount of media influence. Is that too much? When we talk about duopolies in politics and big tech, when we talk about monopolies, when we talk about globalism, do you imagine that this is a contributory factor? Are you surprised by these revelations? And let us know what your questions are for James O'Keefe. He'll be turning up here. He's probably warming up his voice even now, gargling salt water, getting ready to bang out some show tunes for us. What do you wonder? Have you got something to say about all of this, Gareth?
It gets really interesting when he starts talking about the war in Ukraine as well.
Oh, he's going to talk about the war in Ukraine now. Because that you know, it's one thing turning a profit from a little bit of corruption and buying domestic politicians. I think most of us assume that's the case already. We're weary with their corruption. But if wars are being created, provoked, prolonged in order to generate profit, is that a big story? Should we care? Have you lost the ability to care? Do you care?
No questions asked.
Yeah.
Identity is done.
Does everybody do that? Does BlackRock do that?
It doesn't matter who wins.
You're so good.
They're my popular
Ukraine. I'm in charge of the government, actually. I'm in control of this. See these chapsticks of mine? I use that to control governments. He's gotten a bit carried away.
You haven't got a pocket.
Where's that? Is that even a pocket? Who has got a pocket? The journalist you're talking to. Everything is being recorded. Oh, I do feel sorry for that because he's just presumably a normal sort of low-level drone worker recruiting for BlackRock. This is not the epicenter of global corruption here. It's just one of the many denizens of a habitat of pure corruption that all of us know exists by now.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's reporting on the culture, not about his just singular behaviour.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Hortez, is that his name, the fella that won't debate RFK, even after he's not heard about my 10 quid yet? That's not what's important. What's important is a culture of censorship, a culture of surveillance, a culture of smearing dissenters. That's what's significant. You can't target individuals. What's the point? Is that we're talking about systemic change here.
It's good for business, you know, right? I'll give an example. Russia blows up Ukraine's grain silos. Price of wheat is going to go mad up. The Ukrainian economy is tied very largely to the wheat market, global wheat market. Prices of bread, and literally everything goes up and down. This is fantastic if you're trading. Volatility creates opportunity to make profit. War is real good for business. It's exciting when goes wrong.
People in the chat are disgusted. Pride Folks says he's talking about the destruction of people here. Fire Girl 2020. This guy's like in kindergarten, but I'm glad the youth are catching on. Oh, you've known this for ages, didn't you? You lot. In a way, it's sort of surprising that that's the sort of stuff he chats about on dates. But who here is surprised by that? Let me know in the chat if this is an astonishing revelation or if these are the kind of things you've long assumed, if you've known since, God, basically the 1960s, that the state operates on behalf of corporate interests. It's a trend that's been getting worse and worse, and you can track it through various administrations till we reach this point. Corporate gigantism, where democracy becomes almost redundant, where there's no trust in any institutions at all. Not media, not government, not electoral democracy itself. Are you surprised by these revelations? Do you believe these revelations? What do you think is the most interesting thing about them? Gareth, I know that what you think is important is the idea that war is being used to mobilise profit.
Know, when he's talking there about wheat and Ukraine and how the prices fluctuate due to that and how BlackRock can profit from that, I mean, we know that that's happening anyway. We know that the kind of food crisis is going on in the US and in the UK or across Europe at the moment. It's to do with the price gouging of companies that are using the opportunity for war to charge people more for the daily products that they buy. That is something that goes on. And that the companies that do it lobby Congress. They spend millions lobbying Congress to mean that Biden and the rest of the government don't do anything about it. You know, when it comes to another element of the war, weapons, I mean, that some of the largest weapons companies in the world, Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, have been, since the start of the Ukraine war, bragging to investors that tensions between the countries are good for business. BAE Systems have gone up 32%, Lockheed Martin have gone up 14%. These aren't, I guess, you know, it's interesting to see someone actually on camera admitting it, but yeah. These things are things that we already know about through just literally what's happening.
Apologetic Pest says in the locals chat, I'm not sure why we're watching some clip of a smug millennial talking, eating Chinese food and talking about wheat shortages. We are a hardened and skeptical crew, aren't we? Because we are Awakening Wonders. And if you're watching us now on YouTube, click the link in the description. Join us over on Rumble. James O'Keefe, who broke this story, is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. And you can post your questions for him here in the chat and we'll ask him some stuff that I suppose takes him to the very limit of his capabilities.
Yeah, the other element, obviously, what we're talking about here is that kind of collusion between government and company, massive corporate companies like BlackRock. When we come to the Ukraine reconstruction and BlackRock's part in that, so it says here, there's an article by Caitlin Johnson, critics have complained that BlackRock's new role in Ukraine could draw accusations of corruption, with some noting that the company's managing director, Eric Van Nostrand, was hired straight into a senior advisory position in the Biden administration's Treasury Department just this past August, explicitly to shape US economic policy on Russia and Ukraine. So there is a literal link between BlackRock and the Biden administration in terms of their strategy towards Ukraine, in terms of the reconstruction of Ukraine. They all know what's happening and they're all involved.
So are you astonished by these revelations, or is it merely a confirmation of what you have long suspected? What's next? What is it going to take? What level, degree of revelation would it require for you to stop participating in this model? Yet another story that demonstrates ties between the media, the military industrial complex, the government. Mm. It's I suppose at this point it's difficult to maintain anything other than vague disappointment. Listen, we're going to leave you now because James O'Keefe, is James O'Keefe there? Let's just have a look at him on YouTube. He's the sort of person that gets YouTube strikes, I would imagine. So let's be fair. Yeah, no, look at him. He's there. He's got his backdrop. His shirt's too undone. For God's sake, James. Right, listen. If you want to see James undo another button, simply press the link in the description and join us over on Rumble. We'll be talking to Dr. Mark Hyman a little later. Plus, what's our presentation today?
Peter Hotez.
Ah, Peter Hotez, we're covering that story in some depth. You're keen to talk on YouTube, are you, James? Look at him, I can see him warming up. He's licking his lips with anticipation. He's probably going to break another story. Now, remember, we're on YouTube, so don't say anything too controversial before we go over on Rumble. Do you want to say something, James, or are you going to do a few bars of Oklahoma?
I mean, I could sing Poor Judd is Dead last time I sang the opening, the title sequence.
Just give us, yeah, do a little bit. I think if that's what drives people from YouTube to Rumble, let's give it a go.
Poor Judd is dead. Poor Judd Fry is dead. Gather round his coffin now and cry. There you go.
That was a way. Whoever was backing you on your former channel, their money, I think it was well invested.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't call that corruption.
No.
If singing like that's a crime, you can lock me up and throw away the key. You can call me Hunter Biden, baby.
Allegedly.
Because I'm as criminal as they come. Join us over on... I think he's pleaded guilty. It's a plea bargain, right? I don't think we've said anything wrong there. I think that's okay.
That's fine.
All right, listen. As you can see, things are hotting up. O'Keefe's singing show tunes. Let's go over here and expose some deep corruption and bring about a spiritual revolution. We're also going to be talking about the newest Rumble participant, RFK. Why won't this debate happen? And if it does happen, you know where it will. Click the link, join us over on Rumble. James, thank you so much for joining us. Now, I noticed that you went on a Crowder show. Would you just do that interview again, but be slightly more salacious and undo a couple of buttons?
I thought I was on YouTube. I got to be careful, right?
Oh, you're on Rumble now, baby. This is it.
Rumble,
you're on the
baby.
Home of free speech.
Well, we started with poor Judd is dead, so I don't know how to top that. But, I mean, you say it doesn't shock people. It's confirmed suspicions, but most people, this guy says they're asleep. He says that normal people don't give a shit. That's what he says. So, I mean, I think we're waking people up with this expose because then you say, well, it's just one guy or one individual, but the organization is made up of individuals. So you, in order to expose the collective, you have to expose the individual bit by bit, and we have more coming. So that's what I would say in response to that.
What do you say to when people offer the assessment that BlackRock and Vanguard are such vast financial entities that comprise so many disparate investments that to regard them as a sort of solid conglomerate in the same way you might something like Facebook or Alphabet or whatever is a sort of a misdiagnosis? What is the significance of BlackRock's power and what is the significance of the revelations this young man has made?
Well, BlackRock is so significant that when you actually search this video, which this video has hundreds of thousands of likes, tens of millions of views, it's trending on Twitter, you can't actually find the video on Google. And maybe you say, well, Google, BlackRock owns 6.5% of Google. That's $45 billion of a $1.5 trillion market cap. This, I didn't even realize how powerful they were. When I did that Pfizer story, I didn't realize that if you look at the equity owners of Fox News and the equity owners of Pfizer, BlackRock owns a significant share of that. With Fox Corporation, it's 18.4%. Disney, 12%. You point out Comcast, 13%. I mean, they can, and this guy says it. He says, you take this, quote, big fuck ton of money and you buy people and you buy senators for relatively little money, $10,000. That surprised me. That's not a lot of money to buy a senator. But he says all the things that we suspect to be true. And I think it is waking people up. I think little by little it is.
I hope so. Now, my sense is that people that are watching us right now on Rumble are already awakening. Press the red button. Join us over on Locals. Get the neat gear. It is pretty astonishing to learn that Google are able to censor and contain such a revelation. So do you imagine then that there are direct conversations such as were revealed in the Twitter files where the representatives of BlackRock simply contact people at Google and say we'd rather that search didn't show up? And I suppose the legislation and regulation is always introduced to say, oh, protect us from harmful or sexually explicit materials, and then they just use that kind of administration to censor, essentially.
Almost certainly, but they don't get revealed until years later. Like the story we did in 2020, we got some Department of Homeland Security guy emailing the Twitter people. This is before Elon bought the company, saying we need to suppress this James O'Keefe video. This stuff comes out years later, but obviously it's happening behind the scenes. I wish I had those conversations on camera. Maybe I will, hint, hint. And one of the remarkable things about these videos that we do is we break these stories and it inspires other people inside BlackRock. Even today, they're reaching out to me. Some of them are probably trying to sting me, but others actually are giving me information. So it kind of generates a momentum of other people that want to blow the whistle like this guy did unwittingly.
Wow. So you think it creates a culture where people feel more empowered and entitled to speak out. I suppose when the moral veracity of an entire military endeavor is up for question, we already pontificated at length and provided some interesting demonstrations of the way that post-war, presumed in a much-required post-war climate, BlackRock have done deals with Zelensky to participate in the construction, that they want to make it a digital nation. I wonder sometimes, James, what kind of revelations it's going to take for people to stop participating in, like, do you say, like, I recognize that you use a degree of sensationalism. That's because I believe at heart you are a showman. Do you think that people need sensationalism in order to be mobilized, even when the facts tell us that we need to unite and confront this kind of elitist corruption?
Well, you need a little bit of sensationalism, and you need to be a little bit of a thespian to expose them in the first place, like to get in there and go get the information and present yourself as something that you're not, to ingratiate yourself with the subject. I think individually, taking one video at a time, none of this perhaps alone can change things, but collectively they can change things. So like, this is one of a series of exposés. I mean, even me talking to this guy, you'll see this video later today. This is this BlackRock recruiter. I sat down with him like a thespian that I am. He got up and he walked down the street. This is New York City, into the police station. And then he invited me into the police station with him. Now, I wasn't certain whether he's trying to turn himself into the police. Usually criminals run away from the police, not towards them. Or it was a weird moment in time, highly entertaining, quite bizarre. But the cognitive dissonance when these people are exposed, I think this is a movement where you release one video that inspires the next video, which inspires the next. And it just sort of creates this momentum. At O'KeefeMediaGroup.com, we got whistleblowers coming to us, DMing us right now, live. I'm in my office. I'm people come in saying there's things happening. I can't tell you what's happening, but more videos are coming out this week from within BlackRock.
I suppose one of the things this indicates is that crime has become a subjective and shifting concept, i.e., as Nixon famously said, it's not crime when the president does it. And now what we have is a state where it's not criminal when BlackRock do it. Bribery, corruption, hypocrisy. It seems there's a certain strata of society that are exempted from ordinary taxation laws, ordinary ethics and morality. And I suppose, James, you are going to have to keep providing these exposés to stop us becoming inured to corruption, overly inoculated, to use a term of our time. Now, James, is this true that you've been felt up at the airport? Was this part of a security measure, or is this yet another of your hobbies?
That's quite a transition here. We talk about the morality of investigative journalism creating a morality to me being harassed and molested and groped. But I'll
James,
go there.
You're a showman. Tie them together.
Tie them together? Man, that's it. What we do has the power to create morality because we patrol the boundaries of what is moral and immoral by testing what shocks people's conscience. You say it doesn't shock your conscience, but you're a few standard deviations away from the average, Russell. Some people are literally aslumber, but most of those people are also afraid. So speaking of being groped, I was in Nashville. This is last week. Most people recognize me. And when they don't like me, they say nothing. And if they like me, they say something. So, you know, you probably experienced something similar, I suppose. So I'm in Nashville at the TSA line. And this guy, this TSA agent, definitely recognizes me. Rather than just ignore me, he says, come here. He says, you want it in the private room or do you want? I said, I'm going to do it in front of everybody. I want everyone to see this. Everyone. And then I make sure I get a camera person to record it. And he takes his hand and he really touches me all over the place. I almost said, "What? Well, you got to take me to dinner first, right? If you're going to behave that way." But we got it on video. And it was crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Right. You know? Okay, guys, hold on to your hats. Now, if James doesn't bring enough eroticism merely by virtue of his conversation, here he is being patted down at Homeland Security. I can see already from the still at the front of the frame that the gloves are on, but in many ways the gloves are off. Let's see James getting stripped down and touched up.
What are you looking for?
Making sure there's not anything there. The machine's up and running.
Okay.
Thank you. I tell you what, he was very abrasive with the backhand there, wasn't he? That was a very aggressive stroke across there. I can see that people are excited about Dr. Mark Hyman. He's flashing up on Zoom even now. I take that to mean that we've lost James O'Keefe, possibly because he fears another fondling at the hands of overzealous Homeland Security. So there we go. That's James O'Keefe. So we'll see if we can get James back a little later. But until then, I want to get into some freedom of speech. Do you believe in freedom of speech? Because in a minute, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Mark Hyman, who's going to bust apart some of your preconceptions about big food and big pharma. And he's bought his receipts. But before that, let's enjoy a little bit of freedom, a little bit of speech. And where freedom and speech meet, you get free speech. And where free speech meets, you get... We didn't make that ourselves, I have to admit. That was made
too professional for us.
Good, much too professional. We can't do things like that. We had Ross Coulthart on. Ross Coulthart, you'll be familiar with because he conducted the now infamous, legendary David Grush interview. Many of you are almost seeming to be suggesting that Ross Coulthart himself could be an asset of the state. So many of you are divided by these new revelations around UFOs. Many people thinking it's just a distraction. Other people thinking it's the seismic shift we've been waiting for. Apologetic Girl said on Locals there, please abduct me, aliens. I cannot face either Biden or Trump as president. Sometimes an extraterrestrial experience does seem favourable. Imagination. Are we all agreed that aliens are humans from the future travelling back in time in their advanced flying machines?
Yeah. Are we all agreed?
Are we all agreed on that? Can we simply agree that there's advanced humans? I don't know. I mean, I think there's the debate goes on, mate. Maximatitis 444. Love all the UFO conversations on the show recently, but looking at the state of the US, I can see why ET has decided not to make contact. Here's some stuff on censorship, RFK and Rogan and Horton. We're going to be looking at that in depth in just a few minutes. And I think we actually bring some real weight to the conversation.
Of course we do.
Also, I've topped it up with a £10 to get that.
That's right. Yep.
Let's get that debate happening, for God's sake. Yeah, it's been. This has been pointed out by a fridge. This is at Buttercup Lovely, saying simply, every time James O'Keefe comes on here, he's cut off. Is it the state? Is it the system? Is it the machine itself? How come James O'Keefe keeps getting cut off? He looks like he was about to get cut off by that overzealous fella down the airport with them blue gloves on.
Does he need to improve his Wi-Fi? That's another explanation.
It could be that. Yeah, don't see conspiracy everywhere, guys. We've got to be responsible. Dr. Mark Hyman is a responsible contributor to this show. He won't be coming on here with crackpot theories. Zen_hillbilly says, in the Jordan Peterson interview, RFK Jr. literally says, I'm surprised YouTube isn't trying to censor you more. And Jordan says, yeah, they've left me alone. They've left me alone for some reason. That's what he said. That's how he would have said it as well.
Yeah. Was that Kermit from the Muppets?
You start at Kermit and you move towards JP. Hey, Kermit the Frog. And then you go, hey, well, listen, you know, it's not entirely clear to me. There's atypical people that, there's an agreeable type. Okay, Russell. Oh, well, like that. That's how he talks. Mm. I like Jordan Peterson, though, don't I?
Oh, yeah, you do.
I love
him. Get on ever so well.
He's very, I love him. He's brilliant. All right, come on, listen. Hold on, there's some more stuff here. Are we going to go to Dr.
Yeah, we can do.
Dr. Hyman. Oh, no, Trump's boxes?
Sure.
Do you want to know about them?
Of course I do.
This is Mike Simotitis again. It's the White House porn stash. Oh, that's although he's got weird stuff in there. He's got golf equipment in those secret boxes. I think it's time now to take a look into the stinking, seething, nipple-strewn underbelly of big food and big pharma with Dr. Mark Hyman. He's a family physician, international leader in the field of functional medicine and best-selling author whose book, Young Forever, is out now. We'll post a link to that in the chat. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mark. I've seen some pictures of you looking very fit. You're a fit and healthy fella, ain't you?
I'm good. I'm 64. I'm old, but I'm a good vintage.
Let's have another look at this. Get closer on that picture of him with his top off. Wait a second, because I can't make out fully because it's too little on the monitor. I'll tell you what, mate, you are the age of, that's been immortalized by the Beatles. You are 64.
Yeah.
And you're looking absolutely fantastic. We care about health. We want to live forever. I'm willing to... You want to look that good right now, right, even at the your tender time of life. How are you doing this? Are you doing this with supplements? Are you doing this by working out? Are you doing this by avoiding the toxins in our food? How are we to literally, doctor, cheat sweet lady death?
Well, I basically don't listen to the advice of the medical system or the recommendations of our government or our food industry, which are all promulgating theories about health that have nothing to do with health. In fact, they're promoting disease. We have a sick care system, a disease creation system from Field to Fork, and it's driving a global epidemic of chronic disease. It's the number one killer globally. 11 million people die every year from eating bad food. And it doesn't have to be that way. So it's pretty simple. I basically eat real food. I move my body, lift some weights. I actually do bands. I get sleep, have fun, connect with my friends. It's not that complicated.
Every morning, up I get, I drink the lemon water. Then it's celery juice. Now I'm taking these supplements, NMN, M&M, something like that. Something that sounds a bit like testosterone and Turkmenistan. I can't remember exactly what it is. But I'm loading myself up on all sorts of things, Doc. I hope I'm doing the right thing. I'm eating well. I'm vegan. I'm exercising. I'm doing yoga. I'm doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Am I doing the right thing? But perhaps more importantly, are you suggesting that the medical industry and the food industry are conspiring to keep us in a cycle of sickness? Seeing us as sort of consuming blobs that remain forever ill? But deal with me first and then move on to everyone else in the world.
I think, Russell, you're doing good. You look beautiful. You look fit, healthy. I've seen you in person. You're good.
Oh, thank you.
I keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
As far as the food industry, the ag industry, and the farm industry, the medical industry, it's really a big one medical industrial complex. And we are in a situation that is, you know, unlike anything we've ever seen before. We've seen a global increase in obesity from when I was born, about 3 to 5%, and now we're 42% in America. We're seeing 93% of Americans poor metabolic health. And it's really driven by our food system that keeps people going into the healthcare system. And it's a perfect kind of virtuous or vicious cycle, if you will, of bad food creating chronic disease that's then taken care of by the medical system, that's paid for by tax dollars, and that's driven by lobbying and research and the co-opting of professional groups, the co-opting of social groups, the creating of front groups to confuse the public. It's really a very well orchestrated strategy to keep people from the truth of what creates health and what creates disease.
Which foods do we know are bad for us? Are we continuing to eat precisely because they are being lobbied for, because that information is not being conveyed? What should we stop eating immediately? And what do we do about, is it a fallacy that it's just expensive to eat well and eat healthy, that it's expensive to eat healthy food, and that it's just easier to glug down salt and syrup and sugar all day long, nihilistically waiting away like some Lilo on a couch?
Well, it's true that we are all promoted these foods, but they're not necessarily cheaper. They're subsidized in part by government and industry, and they're made, these processed foods, really cheap, but that's not actually expensive to eat well if you know what you're doing. And in terms of the overall strategy of the food industry, you know, it's to produce large amounts of ultra-processed food from three main ingredients, corn, wheat, and soy, that are turned into all kinds of shapes, colors, sizes of chemically extruded food-like substances that have nothing to do with health or food, and that we consume at an enormous volume. 60% of our diet in America is ultra-processed food, 67% of kids' diet, and for every 10% of your diet that's ultra-processed food, your risk of death goes up by 14%. This is the number one killer, period, in the planet. And on top of that, you know, the rest of our diet is pretty low in good stuff. So we have lots of bad stuff and very low good stuff, like fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, whole foods. And so we're ending up driving our bodies into this catastrophic state where 6 out of 10 Americans have a chronic disease. 4 out of 10 have 2 or more. 1 in 4 teenagers now has prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. This didn't even exist when I was a kid. It used to be called adult onset diabetes and juvenile diabetes. Now it's type 1 and type 2 because they had to change the name because little kids were getting it. And 15-year-olds need liver transplants and gastric bypass because of the sugar they're eating from the soda. So we're in a big problem.
Throughout the pandemic period, we talked about the problem of comorbidities and how vulnerable people with comorbidities were. But now it seems that there's an epidemic of comorbidities. Plainly, awareness and education are part of this. But this feels like a much bigger political problem. Do you offer, Dr. Mark, that what's required is nothing less than a revolution in agriculture that leads to the localization of the food supply chain, a revolution in the big food industry to regulate against it, to prevent them from lobbying, from shutting down the self-funded regulatory bodies that permit this kind of behavior, and a revolution in pharma. Is that what's required?
We need to change our food system from field to fork. We need to change all our food policies to support the right thing rather than the wrong thing. You know, right now, Russell, we have, for example, a food system where we're not paying the true cost of food. For every dollar we spend on food, according to the Rockefeller Foundation, there's three extra dollars spent on the downstream costs, whether it's the damage to our soils, loss of biodiversity, the depletion of our water resources, the destruction of the soil, which leads to carbon in the atmosphere. I mean, one third of all the carbon in the atmosphere today for climate change comes from the destruction of our soil through our modern farming practices. And then our food is more nutritionally depleted. So we're driving huge amounts of production of the wrong foods, not enough of the right foods, and it's creating this epidemic. And I think, you know, when you look at the food industry, it's the largest industry on the planet. When I say food, I mean food and ag. And you add farm on top of that, it's even more. So we've got 17 trillion-dollar industry, which is about 16 trillion dollars, so about 70% of the world's GDP. It's enormous, and it's a huge amount of money at stake that's propagating farming in ways that use heavy doses of fertilizer, which uses about 1-2% of all global energy, about 10% of greenhouse gas emissions. It pollutes our waterways, rivers, and lakes, causing eutrophication, which kills all the wildlife and fish in the water. And we deplete our soils as well by chemical spraying. We deplete the microbiome of the soil. So our food now is 50% less nutritious than it was 50 years ago, less vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And we're actually seeing land being degraded in such a rate that we're creating a new desert the size of Nicaragua every year. And we're in trouble. We may only have 60 years of soil left to grow food in, according to the UN. So we're in the midst of a crisis. And unless we revolutionize the way we grow food, the food we produce, the food we market, the food we eat, we're in trouble. And I think we can get there, but we're in trouble right now.
I wonder if you feel, Mark, that the desacralization of food, the desacralization of our relationship with the land, with the soil, with the plants and animals that we eat is in part responsible. The fact that this insidious, invasive ideology of commodity has so detached us from the conscious component that eating in all healthy cultures contains is partly to blame, whether it's the Mediterranean or the Indian subcontinent, so-called. People sacralize, and even Christian Northern European cultures, that saying grace, recognizing that our relationship with food is part of our symbiotic connection to nature. The loss of this awareness, is it part of the problem? And perhaps somewhat less esoterically, Katie in the chat says, do you think all this is causing my thyroid condition? Could you do both of those for us, Mark?
I don't know about the thyroid condition, but actually chemical spraying and pesticides are a big source of thyroid issues. And so is gluten, which has changed in our food supply because of the hybridization of wheat that's created dwarf wheat, which has far more gluten proteins that are far more inflammatory. So in part, yes, because of that, you might be increasing your thyroid risk. But I think the reality is that we have become disconnected from the land. We have been disconnected from our food source. In America, about 2% of the people were not farmers at the turn of the 1900s. Now about 2% are farmers. We've completely unsettled America from being a rural agrarian society, as most countries around the world, and become a more urban society. And we've moved people off the farms and disconnected them from the land, their food sources, and the connection to nature. And I think that plays a big role. Most people don't have an idea where their food comes from, how it was grown, what's going on with it. And if they did, they'd be really appalled. So I think people need to get back. Like in America, for example, during World War II, 40% of the food was grown by Victory Gardens. We need to get back into actually being connected more to our source of nutrition and food through either growing or being involved with farms. I was at a farm today, and I visited this regenerative farm where they were growing incredible intercropping of you know, animals and plants and fruit trees and vegetables in this beautiful way that was restoring the organic matter in the soil, that was, you know, storing water in the soil, that was increasing biodiversity in the land, that was doing all the right things. It was adding value to the nature rather than stealing and making nature a commodity to use up.
Become awakened. Grow your own food. Regain control of your own life and gastric system. Awaken immediately. Cause for optimism. Cause for hope, Dr. Mark. But also the precipice of despair. For it's time for...
I was just wondering, you've talked a lot about the way in which we're being poisoned by the foods that we're eating that are making us sick. I guess the other element to this is the drugs that we're being told to take to make us better. And when we have a situation where drug studies are sponsored by drug companies and the FDA is funded by the pharmaceutical companies that it's meant to regulate, are we at a point where the drugs, I guess, you know, and obviously this has been raised a lot during the pandemic, but the drugs that we're being told to take to lessen the issues of the things that are making us sick, aren't the things that we should be taking? That there are drugs that we shouldn't be taking at all and different drugs that we could be taking that would be more effective?
Yeah, well, listen, pharmaceutical drugs have a role and they can benefit many people for many things, but they're now being prescribed in ways that actually don't, for the most part, help people create health. They're treating symptoms and diseases, and they often come with significant side effects. And the problem with research is that it's primarily funded by industry. Whether it's nutrition research, 12 times as much money is flowing into nutrition research as the government funding of research. And the findings of those food industry sponsored studies are 8 to 50 times more likely to show a positive benefit for their product. Like if dairy is seen to be a sports drink, well, guess what? It's going to work if it's funded by the Dairy Council. And same thing with pharmaceutical industry. You know, the frightening thing is that, you know, a pharmaceutical industry has to submit all their data to the FDA for review. And then the FDA will approve the drug or will not approve the drug. But they don't have to publish all the data. So they just publish the positive data that they kind of twist and contort and adjust and make statistical manipulations to make it seem good, while they don't actually publish the negative data. And this is quite concerning to me because we don't actually have true transparency about what we're taking and its impact, its benefit, and its risk. And most drugs are marginally effective. You know, and they don't reverse disease. And you can't reverse diabetes with a drug. You can manage it, but the only place diabetes is cured is on the farm, in the grocery store, in the restaurants, in the kitchen. I can't cure it in my office with a medication. And I see it all the time when you actually treat people by creating health using functional medicine, which is really the science of creating health, treats the body as an ecosystem. It's much like regenerative agriculture. It's like regenerative human health. It works to actually reverse disease, whether it's autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular diseases, metabolic disease like diabetes, digestive problems, mood disorders. And where, you know, medication is important, but it's not the solution for most of the problems people have. And I think we need to move away from our reductionist model, which is you treat a single disease with a single drug, which is really predominantly how research is done, and look at how do we start to understand the science of what is health? How do we define health? How do we create it through an intervention set of interventions that actually work, like lifestyle, what you eat, how you move, your sleep, stress, you know, the right practices in your life, community, meaning, belonging, purpose. Those are all the ingredients for health.
Dr. Mark Hyman, thank you for outlining that with such clarity and expertise. I'm watching the chat on Locals. You can press the red button if you want to join it, and people are value your contribution and content. And a lot of people think you look like Jon Stewart.
I've heard that before. In fact, his wife told me that, and she said, "But you look like my husband, but you're better looking." So I said, "I wouldn't tell him that."
Would you mind extrapolating on what the circumstances were, Doctor? Context, Doc. What's the context? I hope you weren't looming over Mrs. Stewart. The pair of you in a passionate clinch. You.
Of other people.
Brandishing some celery. This will make you better. You can't trust big medicine. You can't trust Jon Stewart. I'm bigger. I'm better. I'm the real Jon Stewart. I'm Jon Stewart, but with a degree. Dr. Mark Hyman, thank you so much for puncturing so many of our preconceptions. Thank you for breaching many of our ideas about big food and big pharma and taking our cherry when it came to the simple naivety around our preconceptions around big food and big pharma. I'm just doing some Hyman as I'm passing the time. Listen, Mark, thanks very much, man. Thanks for joining us. Mark's book, Young Forever, is available at drhyman.com. Thanks very much. much, Mark. That was a fantastic contribution. Thank you, mate.
Oh, great to see you.
Thanks, mate. Take it easy. See you soon. Fantastic contribution. Mm. Thought you were flirting.
Yeah, I regret that moment.
Outrageous. Yeah. But if you want to see professionalism, you'll see it tomorrow, because Yoga with Adrian Starr, Adrian Mishler, will be on the show helping us to spiritually awaken through yoga. And if you've ever wanted to see me do yoga, you bloody well will. And if you haven't wanted to, I suppose you just don't have to watch it. It's not mandatory. Listen, if you want to join our locals community, press the red button. You'll get early access to interviews. You'll be able to join us live for these conversations when we have people on like RFK, Jordan Peterson, Eckhart Tolle, all sorts of people gather around the digital campfire that is our Why did I say that? What's wrong with me? I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. Also, if you want to watch my special, Brandemic is premiering on the 25th of June on Moment. There's a link in the description. It's completely uncensored. It's completely self-funded. It's completely brilliant. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Switch on.